Any one of those three could be interesting or useful.
But
Yeah,
if you want a longer lasting result, then yes, I strongly recommend the internal
on,
broth.
but it's correct that we don't have these long-term randomized control studies blinded to see
It
if.
works, but it tends not to last that long in the average patient.
The beauty scientists, Dr. Christy Hamilton and Dr. Roy Kim. Real beauty without the hype.
Hello, this is Dr. Roy Kim with The Beauty Scientist with my co-host, Dr. Christy Hamilton. How are you?
I'm great. Excited about our topic today, the internal broth.
Yes, this is a very hot topic because you may have heard about it, but we will break down the concept. We'll tell you how it's achieved and how it can be achieved in you and whether you're the best candidate. So the internal broth sounds really cool. It's basically a sling or something that reinforces your own breast tissue. What's cool is that we can use it for breast implants. It actually can be used for breast lift, including if we use your own tissue and you get a breast lift, we can actually still use the internal bra concept. So in terms of you using it for breast augmentation, Dr. Hamilton or Christy, how do you sort of figure out when to use it or not with an implant, with breast lift, with breast augmentation and lift?
Yeah, so what woman hasn't wanted to say, I want to have all the support of the bra, but I want to go braless? That is something that women, I think, constantly have talked about. And now we have something that's going to provide more support. You'll hear us still say we want you to wear a bra. But there are a few breast subsets or women with certain types of tissues that I think really ought to consider adding an internal bra. One of those is if you're putting in very large implants, I think that's going to put a lot of weight on the skin and the lower pole breast tissue. And so extra support would be beneficial in that area. And then when I look at women who've got stretch marks, not the best tissue quality, maybe they're a little bit older, maybe they had three kids and breastfed them for a year and a half each. When we see that that collagen and elasticity is not great, that's another great candidate to just add some internal support to help keep their lift or breast augmentation or combination as high for as long as possible. Similar to that category of patients, also the massive weight loss patients. So we see similar tissue quality, stretch marks, a lot of sagging. And so we want to, after we redrape and sculpt and make this beautiful lifted breast, maybe with an implant for volume, we want to make sure that we create as durable a result as possible. So I position it as an insurance policy or an enhancement for your surgery. Although since everybody's different, their tissue qualities are different, it's hard to tell patients, oh, how much longer they'll stay lifted if they have one, if they don't, because that journey is going to be individual person to person. What about
Yeah,
you?
I totally agree. And I think it's easier to tell patients, hey, if you already have breast sag, what we call ptosis, if you already have lax skin or loose skin, it's a little easier to say, hey, yes, we're doing this rejuvenating procedure, but if you want a longer lasting result, then yes, I strongly recommend the internal bra. I think it's to be seen whether it's used routinely in breast augmentation patients only and patients who don't need a breast lift.
Yeah, I agree, because we see people that put in smaller implants, even larger implants, and 20 years later, they may still look great. So you could definitely make that the case that that patient didn't need one. But it's just, it can be hard to know also with your magic eight ball looking forward, what the tissue quality may look like then. But I agree, I'm not using it routinely in primary cases, especially for younger women.
Yeah. And so of course, the question then is different ways to achieve the internal bra. So we use your own tissue. We can use various substances like ACL, dermal matrix, man-made substances. Let me talk first briefly, because it's very brief, about using your own tissue. So we've been doing this for decades, but what we found is using your own tissue, whether it's dermis or even fascia, it works, but it tends not to last that long in the average patient. So even though the concept's the same, we have definitely, about 10 years ago, there was a big surge in acellular dermal matrix, which essentially getting some animal skin, it's processed, and we use it. But it's less common, and I basically don't use it because of various reasons, including the high cost, as well as, you know, the way it was described to both of us is, well, we're going to put it in there, but at the time of surgery, it may move up or down a little depending on how it heals up. What has your experience been?
I have mainly used those materials in breast reconstruction as opposed to, and you're really talking about more like complex revisional aesthetic breast surgery more than the primary cases, I would imagine. But the common theme that kept on coming up was like, you know, they're using skin, whether it's animal skin or human skin, and skin is stretchy. So for the same reason that a patient may see sag happen, we're using a material that's also capable of stretching like that to provide support. And so I think just fundamentally, it's not the ideal material to use, although it does have its benefits, right? But like being like a biologic material that integrates well with the tissues and ultimately will remodel to just melt into the body and become part of you. And so that's a significant benefit, but maybe not providing as much support as we were hoping it would.
Yes. And then the other thing too, is when I talk about the high cost, I'm talking about the high cost typically for cosmetic or aesthetic use. Patients who have it for health insurance / breast reconstruction, obviously the health insurance usually pays that cost. But yes, to a non-breast recon patient, the cost is significantly high, which is why they came up with man-made alternatives. So there are various names, including Galaflex, which is P4HB, Durasorb, which is PDS, that's a chemical that's used in absorbable suture. And you have been lucky enough to try out Ovatex, which is reinforced sheep gut. So how much fun are you having with those three types of internal bra materials?
Yeah, and I don't have a particular favorite of those. I find that the P4HB is probably like a little bit more robust, the PDS. I like that one because it's a known material that we've used for a long time. So I don't lose sleep over using any of these meshes in the long-term result. And then the newest one, the reinforced sheep gut, that's been positioned as kind of having the benefits of both the biologic as well as the synthetic one. So you get that great tissue integration, but also that more robust support than you would get with a biologic material alone. And so these are all, I think, depending on the patient and whether integration is more of a concern or not, and like how lax their tissues are, how much support they need, I think any one of those three could be interesting or useful.
Yeah, for the consumers out there, all of these substances look sort of like a mesh, and some of them are preformed, some of them are pre-cut, some of them just look like rectangles, and as a surgeon, we can cut it the way we want. And some people just put them in. Some plastic surgeons actually suture them in. How you suture them in sort of depends on what's going on as well as the plastic surgeon preference. And they're all absorbable. In other words, your body does break it down and absorb it. And the other cool thing with these three products is that when you're setting it in as a plastic surgeon, that's where it stays. As opposed to the acellular dermal matrix, you could set it in any way you want, but the body has to heal. And sometimes it doesn't look exactly how you put it in as a plastic surgeon.
Yes. And so I like to place it along the lower pole of the breast like a sling, which I imagine is similar, if not exactly the same as what you do. And it can either be placed like in the breast implant pocket, if that's a new pocket, and integrate and have the implant kind of push against it. Or if I'm doing a lift, I'll mold the breast tissue itself and then place it along that lower pole on the outside between the gland of the breast and then the skin of the breast.
Yes. And it's a lot of fun to put in. And it's very nice when you have it where you want it, it will stay that way. You have a lot of certainty as a patient, as a plastic surgeon. I think the other thing, again, for consumers out there is that typically you will need a breast fold incision to put them in. So if your last breast augmentation was not a breast fold, or if you really have your heart set on not having a breast fold, sorry, the best way of putting it in is to have full visualization. As a plastic surgeon, we want to be able to see everything, dissect everything, and put it exactly at your breast fold. I don't think, honestly, that's a big deal breaker because it's after it heals up, it's very hard to see that incision.
Yeah, and that's usually, especially if you have an implant in that natural crease. So really, patients should hardly, you know, those tend to scar really beautifully. And also, it's going to be in the fold underneath your breast. It'll be hard for even you to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, if you're a patient who you've already had a breast augmentation or implant, you've already have the breast fold incision. I mean, it's not that big a deal. The incision already exists. So,
right. And then we always we like to be very data driven in our recommendations. So like one thing that people will mention is, well, these materials, we haven't been using them this way for a tremendously long period of time, but it's increasing number of years now. And I think the more that we as a group of plastic surgeons have used it, I think we're increasingly seeing the value over time as it goes on. But it's correct that we don't have these long-term randomized control studies blinded to see if it's, you know, one is superior to the other or how much better that is to just no internal bra. But it seems like a good investment in your result for the right patient.
Yeah. One thing some of my patients notice is that patients with very thin skin, sometimes they could sort of barely feel this mesh where it's placed right after surgery. However, in pretty much all my patients, once the body absorbs it, once it dissolves, they'll give it a year, give it 2 years, you can't really feel it at all. So that's one of the cool things about this product.
Yeah. So there may be a little bit of patience involved, but it's also in some ways like reassuring, oh, the material is there. It's working. It is lifting up my implant or my breast tissue, but just knowing, having the peace of mind of knowing that you eventually won't be able to feel it. And some of them, the softer ones, like the PDS one, I've never had a patient say that they feel that ever, which is a nice element to the product too.
Yeah. And again, for the consumers out there, this newer PDS product may be only a couple years old. PDS has been used for decades in the human body. I mean, it's been around forever. So as far as we could tell, very, very safe biomaterial.
Yes. Yeah. That's one I was willing to be an early adopter on because we know that I use PDS in the breast surgery anyways. So those sutures are one of the, I use them for every single breast case I do. So I had no concerns about adding more PDS to a breast.
Well, I think that about wraps it up because we explained this not very difficult topic, but I think a lot of plastic surgeons sort of gloss over it. And now I hope that, you know, people who are watching or listening can sort of visualize it. And now they know, even though there are a couple options with the sling or hammock of the breast, that's really what it is. We're recreating it surgically so that you can't see it. And long term, you have like rejuvenation of your breast and maintenance of that area.
Yes. So if you're listening, would you want an internal bra? Is this something that you'd be interested in? Comment below, let us know. And as always, stay beautiful.
Stay beautiful. Thanks so much for watching and listening.
Thank you for joining us on The Beauty Scientist. Be sure to visit thebeautyscientist.com and learn more about modern beauty and connect with Dr. Hamilton and Dr. Kim.